Hello and welcome to the Qatar Insurance Companies. I would like to advise all participants that this call is being recorded. Thank you. I'd now like to welcome Roy Thomas to begin the conference. Roy, over to you.
Hello everyone. This is Roy Thomas from QNB Financial Services. I want to welcome everyone to Qatar Insurance Company's year-end 2022 financial results conference call. On this call from Qatar Insurance Company, we have Waghees David, the Group Chief Financial Officer, Chirag Doshi, the Group Chief Investment Officer, Mena Munir, the Senior Vice President for Group Finance, and Fatan Kairouz, the Investor Relations Manager. We will conduct this conference call with management first reviewing the company's results, followed by a Q&A. I will turn the call now over to Waghees David. Go ahead, Waghees.
Hi. Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome all once again to our investor call. See, 2022 has been one of the most challenging years for QIC. During the year, we reported a gross written premium of 9.8 billion Qatari riyals. As you already seen, our underwriting results for this year has been one of the worst years in QIC's history. So this is primarily arising from the discontinued part of the business from our international operations, which has severely impacted the group net profit during the year. During the reporting year, on account of this, we had reported a net loss of 637 million Qatari riyals compared to a net profit of 630 million Qatari riyals last year. As you are aware, see, 2022 has been a year which has been challenged with unprecedented inflation, geopolitical tensions, especially the events arising out of the Ukraine war, over there. So, and also we had a couple of challenges arising out of legal issues on our legacy books, which we had discontinued earlier. So all put together, we had our underwriting income dropped to 25 million Qatari riyals against 643 million Qatari riyals of underwriting profit last year. The investment income current year stands at 717 million against 978 million. Our expenses remain stable during the year. So overall, out of a loss of 636 million reported this year, 858 million pertains to the discontinued part of the business and the remaining profits from a continued operation. So, giving further light into the discontinued operation, this is primarily on account of the business which the group used to write through our Gibraltar entity, which is predominantly the UK motor business, which constitute close to 40% of the group's top line we write. As you are aware, because of the UK motor rates being substantially being competitive, the effects of inflation, the Brexit impact, all put together, the combined ratio for our UK motor what was in excess of 110%. Also, the premium rates being very competitive added to this higher combined ratio. So this has been a key driver for current year's loss coming in. But whereas currently we are in the process of disposing this Gibraltar part of business. So we are in the final stages of completion of that transaction. So currently, we are the terms agreed with the reputable institutional buyer. And our understanding is, and we believe that post this the disposal of this Gibraltar asset, we think our international operations should be back to normal. And going forward in 2023, with inflation being tamed we expect our international operations with the exit from our high volatile, high severity business, which have been doing for all these years, our international operations to come back to the normal level of 99% combined ratio. So that is a brief about international business. Meanwhile, our MENA part of the business performed exceptionally well. We had an 18% year-on-year growth from our MENA operations. MENA operations, as always in the past, had delivered a very consistent and stable results. Especially, we have seen some phenomenal growth in the online business, especially in Doha. So we are buoyant with the MENA business in the region, especially in Doha, Dubai, and Oman. We have seen this double-digit growth coming during the year. With regard to investments, our teams have been performing well. We have delivered a consistent investment income all these years. Again, other key development during this year has been the acquisition of our Omani subsidiary of the Vision Insurance company there in Oman. So we are pleased to advise that acquisition has been successfully completed. So this is in line with the group's strategy to expand in the direct business within the GCC. Currently, our direct GCC business stands at 29%, whereas the international business is 71%. This is in line with the group strategy to reduce the exposure to the international markets, and our plan is to bring down this to a 50-50 proportion between local and international business over the coming years. So overall, with the strategy put in place, which we think we over a period of time we come out of this high volatile and high severity business in the international. At the moment we are successfully completed. So looking forward to 2023, we are reasonably confident that we come back to our normal combined ratio of 98.5%, our ROE in the range of 10 to 12%. So this is a general overview of where we stand. And if you have any specific queries, then we can take up now.
Roy, can you please...
Operator, you can go ahead and open up for questions right now.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Lee Biswick of QNB. Your line is open.
Hi. Thanks for the presentation. Why is Cathay involved in any international operations at all? What's the point? Because if you look at reinsurance as a business, two of the best reinsurers in the world, QBE, which is in Australia, makes a single digit ROE. Berkshire Hathaway, if you strip out actually its investments, where it sort of doubles up the float, it makes a single digit ROE. Why is Cathay involved in this business? What's the point? You say you're making a 98% combined ratio. You used to make a 90% combined ratio before you actually did any of these acquisitions. Why are you still involved in this business at all?
Yeah, thank you. I think that's a great question. First of all, if you see QIC, has been into the international. We have further developed our international business since 2015. So our initial entry to the international market has been through the acquisition of the Antares Lloyd Syndicate. So if you see, the Antares is the global nerve center of insurance. So, since the acquisition, that's the Andras, which is the Lloyd syndicate, has been always the star of our international operations. From the date of acquisition, even now, as we speak, they are performing well, Andras operations. Whereas, the area where we have the losses coming in is primarily the UK motor business. So if you see, the time when we were entering the UK motor business, it was a different landscape altogether. Because at that time, the UK, the international markets, the rates were hardening, the Brexit scenario was not there. We also had the impact, if you look at the insurance industry, Ogden rates, for instance, that had an impact. All these had happened post our entry to the international markets. So we as a group, we could foresee that post our entry to the UK motor business, where we had a substantial share of close to 7.5% of the market. After Brexit, post the Ogden issue, we had taken a strategic decision to exit from the market. And as of now, in end of 2022, we are formally out of the UK motor business. So overall, if you see as a group, for us it is strategically important we be in the international market. QIC is not a local or regional player. We are a global insurer global insurer. But what matters is how we manage the risk. So if you take out these one-off losses, like the inflation impact, and also if you take out the UK motor impact, our normalized combined ratio is in the range of 98-99%. That makes a difference for QIC compared to the other international markets, primarily.
That is entirely my point. Your combined ratio is 99%. 99% is not a good combined ratio. It's a very poor combined ratio when you compare it with the average within Qatar, because the average within Qatar is a lot less than that. That's the first thing. The second thing on the UK. You essentially bought a business when the market was good, and you're selling it when the market's deteriorated. Now, the problem with that is you overpaid for it. So there's nothing, risks happen all the time in businesses. You just overpaid for the acquisition, and now you're selling it. I don't know what price you're selling it, because there's no visibility there, but you just overpaid for the acquisition. My concern is going forward that your ability to manage the UK is no different to your ability to manage Antares, and we're just waiting for a big event to happen there. And given its reinsurance, it could be anything. It could be you could have insured an earthquake in Turkey. You could have insured an earthquake in New Zealand. It could be anything. So all we're doing is we're sitting there waiting for the next blow up, aren't we?
See, first let me answer on the Qatar part of it. See, Qatar, if you see, you're right. The combined ratio for the direct business is definitely better than the international business. But in Qatar, QIC is the leader. We are already, currently we insure most of the high quality, energy, marine risks are there in our book. So here, since we are the leader, as a company, we need to look at the other than Qatar, for us to expand. So, we are still growing in Qatar, where the market share is less for us, we are still expanding. But as a group, as a global, insurer, we need to look at other geographies where we are able to underwrite risk that is, in line with our defined risk appetite. So now going back to the other important query you raised with regard to Andras, how are you going to manage Andras compared to the other risks? See, if you see Andras, which is part of the Lloyd syndicate, it is one of the best well professionally managed insurance syndicate in the globe. So that is the comfort we're having. And if you also notice, our syndicate operations for the last 3 years, if you look at, take it underwriting year-wise, that has been profitable. So, with regard to the Lloyd's, we are reasonably confident that, and also with the rates hardening happening currently, we think, the Lloyd's, we are very confident that, they are going to deliver us the, expected returns.
Let me just add one or two things here. As Vargeet said, see the international business, I think you have to take a step back and see what is included in the international business. There are three broad segments. There is a reinsurance company, as you rightly said, which is based in Bermuda. There is a syndicate member in Lloyd's called Antares. And then there is the UK motor business. Now, you're absolutely right. These are the pain points. Some of them, not all of them, were pain points. As Vargeet said, you have to separate or segregate Antares. It's a Lloyd's of London syndicate member and not a reinsurance company. It has a very different capital requirement and a risk return profile. It has been extremely profitable for us, and that is exactly what we are trying to keep now in QIC. We have significantly reduced our exposure to reinsurance side. Our catastrophic exposure has gone down to very negligible levels. And at the same time, the not-so-profit-making UK motor business has been put on a potentially for a sale. So we are taking it. We would not shy away from saying that, the decisions taken in the past were right or wrong. Let's not get there. But at least now what we are saying is that we are moving in the right direction in terms of getting rid of low-margin, loss-making businesses in the international and focusing only on the on a double-digit ROE business, which is the Lloyd's of London and Tariff business.
When do you think Cathay will make a double-digit ROE?
Well, look, our again, we refrain from giving any guidances, but all as Vargeet said in his initial speech, we are looking to achieve a high single digit, if not double digit, in 2023, and that's the reason why we've taken all the pain in 2022. And this is obviously, please don't consider it as a guidance, but this is a comment taken from the CFO's transcript.
See, let me just add on. See, if you take even 2022, if you take out the impact of inflation, which is a key killer for us this year. And also, if you take out the impact of the legacy claims arising out of the legal matters which were concluded this year, I think, which gives us the normalized profit for the year. So if you work out the ROE on the normalized profit, we are in early double digits even for 2022. So, for us, I think, as Chirag explained, this is a one-off pain you're taking, predominantly taken from the discontinued business. And in an environment where rates are hardening internationally, and also while our international operations are working in a highly controlled environment like Lloyd's, where they got very rigid capital control mechanisms and oversight mechanisms are there. So that is the confidence we have. And we have also, what we, as of now, as we speak, we have come out of all the low-margin, loss-making global business. This is an exercise we have been doing it for the last 3 years, which has started end of 2018. As of now, we have completely come out of that. So we are reasonably confident that going ahead, we have a very strong and stable MENA base. We have a always constantly performing investment income investment pillar is there, and with a reasonably well performed backed by an Lloyd syndicate international arm, I think we are expecting our ROEs to be closer to the double digits in the coming years.
Next question, please.
All right. So again, let me remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Riaz Abdul Kader of Integra Asset Management. Your line is now open. Calling again, Riaz Abdul Kader, your line is now open.
Yes, hello?
Yes, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes, we can hear you.
So my question was, can you help us bridge how we went from 9-month net profit of 570 to full year profit of 222 million? Just to understand, you know, where the losses come from on your continuing business.
Yeah, yeah. See, first of all, let me clarify. See, as of the 9 months, we had reported a loss of 130 million Qatari riyals. Okay. So the continuing operation, predominantly arising the two parts. One is the impact of the inflation. See, if you see, I mean, we are holding close to 15 billion Qatari riyals of the insurance reserve. So with the inflation impact fully taken in Q4, that had a key component. Also, one other matter was which I briefly referred in my initial session, that on account of the legacy accounts which we had discontinued earlier, we had a couple of legal issues matters resolved during Q4. That full impact, we had taken during Q4. So all put together, our profit from continued operation further deteriorated.
Okay, right. And what's the time frame for exiting the business? I mean, you said it's been mentioned that you're in talks. Is that something that we should expect probably before the end of this quarter or towards the end of the year?
So so the discussion started in quarter four. There is an institutional buyer based out of Europe for the business. The negotiation started in quarter four. A term sheet, non-binding of course, has been signed in January. And then there are certain finer points which are being sort of discussed and negotiated. I think from our side, 3 to 4 weeks from now, we would have a conclusion on the transaction. Again, it's a negotiation process. We're not guiding that the deal is done or will be done. It's a negotiation process. But all I can say is that at this point in time, there's more likelihood of the deal happening than not happening.
Okay, right. And do you need to keep injecting capital into this business while this is happening, or?
Wait, sorry, come again?
Do you need to inject further capital into this business?
We need to keep increasing capital until, yes, of course. So at the moment, the business is in our balance sheet. So we've not sold it, or the change of control has not happened. So until then, if any capital is required, we will be obliged to fund the capital.
All right. Your next question comes from the line of Anastasios Jalkinakis of Al Faisal Investments. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you for taking my question. Just two questions, please. The one is on the portfolio. Now the portfolio took very large losses in 2022 that went straight to equity. On top of that, we see at the same time a drop in investment income. So, which seems a little bit strange, because at least in the fixed income segment, yields increased. So, can you provide more clarity? And because the portfolio remains dilutive for the returns of the business for the past few years. And the second, you isolate the UK motor as the main source of issues. But in the segmental information, we see even businesses like marine and aviation is also significantly down in terms of their underwriting performance. It seems like there is a degradation in other businesses as well, and not only the UK motor. So can you elaborate what is the outlook in the main businesses outside of motor going forward? Thank you.
Let me answer the questions pertaining to investments. Firstly, I would like to highlight that 2021 was an exceptional year for the global market, and the investment performance of 2021 it is very difficult to replicate that in 2022. If you look at 2020, which was again an exceptional year from a COVID point of view, so look at 2019-2018, our investment yields have always hovered between 4 to 5%, and this year also we've generated an investment yield on the book of between the 4 to 5%. So that our investment yields have been fairly stable in that area, except for 2021, which is an exceptionally strong year for the markets. Yes, you're absolutely right. About 800 million riyals of fair value loss had to be taken through the balance sheet, but that's because of the sharp move in interest rates which happened in 2021. I'm sure all of us, we don't expect the same kind of move again this year. So we do expect that this year will be much better in terms of fair value movements on bonds compared to 2022. And as far as the interest income is concerned, you know, the portfolio has a duration of 2 to 3, 2.6 precisely as of 31st of December. So it takes a little bit of time for it to get the full benefit of the increased rate. So what, because you know, you have a portfolio which is yielding a certain amount and then the rates go up, it takes a little bit of time for the catch up. You will see the improvement in interest income in 2023 and probably 2024.
Yeah. Now, see, with regard to the insurance part, the query which you raised, see, you're right. The primary losses are coming from the UK motor side. That's right. But also we had losses coming in from the marine segment. So this is primarily arising from the legacy book which we had discontinued in the earlier years, because as I explained earlier, from 2018 we have been coming out of the low margin and the loss making international books, and during this year we had settled a couple of the legacy accounts where we had some legal matters. So all those losses we had taken during 2022, and that impact is seen in that line of business. But if you take that out, if you look at the performance for those lines of business for the current running underwriting year or insurance year, they are profitable. But during the financial year, we add the current year's underwriting income and also the previous year's losses coming in. So that's why it's showing a loss. But if you look year on year wise, that lines of business other than motor are profitable for us.
Thank you.
All right, your next question comes from the line of Lee Biswick of QNB. Your line is now open.
Hi, sorry, just a follow-up. You said that the acquisition hopefully will happen over the next few weeks, months. And in the meantime, you would have to keep funding it. So does that mean there'll be losses in Q1 related to the discontinued businesses? Or all the losses now taken?
You mentioned acquisition. I think you're talking about the disposal.
Sorry. I meant disposal. Apologies. I meant disposal.
All right.
Yes. So as I mentioned, you know, it's a matter of weeks. Hopefully, a matter of weeks. Again, I want to stress that the deal is not done and signed. We are in the process. There's more likelihood of it happening than not happening. But again, you know, things can go southwards, and the deal may not happen. So, we're working on it. In terms of losses, so far, at least in the first month, I mean, we don't have the information from Feb yet. But at least for the month of January, things have looked okay, and there has not been any capital calls. But look, it's early days. We won't be able to make any comment actually. Anything more than what I just said.
Okay. There won't be any capital calls. Will it be? But it's still loss making as a business, so you'll still have to take small losses, presumably, until you sell it.
So look, it was loss-making in, it made losses in 2021, and primarily because of the inflation in UK. You know, the claim inflation was about 10%. And while we've seen that inflation has cooled off a bit, not to a level where, you know, you and me would like where it should be, but definitely the other side to it is that there has been pricing pressure. So most insurers in the UK have pushed their prices higher, that's all I can say.
Let me add this also to that. I mean, you're right, it's a very logical question, but what we have identified during 2022 is we exactly know within our UK portfolio which are the segments which are bleeding the most. So and based on that, we have further reduced, our plan for 2023. We have a much, our projected gross premium arising from UK. We are almost reduced 35% to 40%, because predominantly we cut off the bleeding business. So it used to be close to close to $950 million. So in 2023, as per our current plan, our current approved plan, it is we have reduced that to $650 to $700 million. So by cutting
is that,
off
is that losses.
Top line. So we reduced our 2023 business plan has a much reduced top line arising from the UK motor business, wherein we expect the business which we're going to write during 2023 with the hardening of the rates which is currently happening. That's what the latest update we get from our UK underwriters. And also by this selective underwriting, I think, we are reasonably well placed, I would say, but to be honest, I think we are still monitoring it very closely. Just to make sure that we are able to achieve our desired combined ratios.
Okay, so the business will be smaller in 23.
Yeah.
But it is still loss. As we stand today, it is still loss making, and therefore, as long as you own it, you are going to have to report P&L losses.
No, not necessarily, because we have cut off the out of almost 35% to 40% of the sure loss making business we cut off. So we're not writing that. So that is one positive thing. Second aspect is our internal prices have changed. Number three, the market as a marked market, because if you see the global the entire UK motor industry has been losing during 2022. The market itself is corrected, so that is also favoring us. So with this, all these three factors, our expectation is it should not make a loss, but to break even. So at least it should break even, and with the cash coming in, we think to the investment side, it should give a. Not a big margin, but a relatively a small margin.
And then one more thing which I would like to add is the acquisition in Oman. We just, I'm sure you know, you have heard about our acquisition recently completed in Oman.
This is exactly what we're trying to do, release capital from low margin, loss making international businesses, bring it back to the region where the loss ratios are significantly lower. Oman acquisition is a classic example of what we, this acquisition will push us into number three in Oman, and then, and similar, we would look at opportunities similar to this in the region going forward.
See, just to add on what Chirag said is, see, this has been the group strategy that in 2018, if you see, we had 81% of international business. As of now, it's reduced from 81 to 71%. So our target is to make it 50-50. So with that, we already have a diversified line of business we write. So with the focus coming to the GCC direct insurance, and within the GCC, our primary focus is on to the personal lines of business, where we think we have an edge compared to the other peers in the region, because in the digital front, we are one of the front runners. We have been always been the pioneers in the B2C and B2B. So just to give an example, a favor of what we do is, in Doha, currently around 65% of the motor business we write is through online. So this is a capability we achieved over the years, which no other company in the region has. And this has been the precise area of focus for us at the moment. So we are focusing on the direct business, and within the direct business, we are focusing on the personal lines, which is predominantly motor, home care, travel care, and this individual medical business. So which has a high margin, the capital required is minimal compared to the big ticket business we write internationally. The cash comes in, there is no broker involvement. So, all these factors together gives us the confidence that our MENA region, which always performed well, even in difficult years, is going to excel as we go forward in the coming years.
Okay, thanks.
All right, your next question comes from the line of Mohammed Adel of AFI. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So my first question is on Turkey. Do you have any exposure to the earthquake in Turkey?
No, we don't have any exposure to earthquake in Turkey currently. With the latest information, up-to-date information we have no exposure.
Okay, thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the call back over to Roy. I would like to turn back over to you now.
All right. Thank you. If there are no further questions, we would like to thank Qatar Insurance Company's management for the results update and answering all the queries, and look forward to speaking to you all for the first quarter 2023 results conference call. Thank you.
Thank you.
This now concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.